You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Jess, were you at Clemson when Robbie Robinson was there?
No.
No, they're 4 years apart in age. I doubt it, but...
There's this guy that plays for Inter Miami. His name is Robbie Robinson. He was the number one overall draft pick 2 years ago. But Robbie Robinson has really come on this year. His name is Robbie Robinson. He's eligible to play for the Chilean national team.
His mother is Chilean.
His mother is Chilean. Robbie Robinson. And United States men's national teams all of a sudden starting to get stacked. This is a good problem to have. In prior years, Robbie Robinson would be a shoo-in to get a call-up.
Yeah. If only just to lock him down so he doesn't go to another team. But just because of our lack of strikers for 20 years, you know, since Brian McBride left the program. Although, I mean, we do probably talk too much shit about Jozy Altidore. Like, Jozy Altidore is a decent player.
Nah, stunk.
He just doesn't meet the standard that we want of our center forward at the U.S. men's national team.
He was decent.
A good player.
At his height, and he was a part of that, the build-up to that goal.
The Landon Donovan goal. Mm-hmm.
And he was really at his best when he was paired with Charlie Davies.
Because
Charlie Davies had the speed.
It was a perfect combination.
You needed some strength up top, and he gave you strength. And that's all I'll say about Jozy Altidore. He was strong.
He scored a lot of goals for the U.S. men's national team. He's going to be like one of our record goal scorers for all times.
Hopefully not. But now you have Pepe and Sargent and Daryl DK. It's tough. It's a logjam for the U.S. men's national team. So Robbie Robinson decides... He wants to play international soccer, logjam at his position, the men's national team. So what does he do? I've got a Chilean mom. I'm going to play for Chile. And believe it or not, he has more of a path to playing for the Chilean national team, a team that in recent years won Copa America, a team with a very proud soccer legacy. He can actually play for them. He makes a decision, the hard part, to say, all right, I'll go to camp. Keep in mind, he's still eligible to play for the United States until he logs a cap, right, for the national team. A cap is an international appearance.
There's new rules, but yes. I actually think he could have played in all three games for Chile in this window and still change his mind and could play for the U.S.
When'd they do that?
So there's a new rule where I think you have to like wait 3 years. So if you play in three games, but you don't play in any games for 3 years, you can then make a switch again.
Yeah, and MLS is a kooky league because while every other major soccer league is off during an international break, there are World Cup qualifiers. There are big games going on. Inter Miami and the rest of MLS continue marching on.
Carrying on. Got to get these games in.
With their best players all representing their countries. So this is a tough break for Inter Miami that Robbie Robinson decides he's got to chase the international dream. With Chile, Robbie Robinson gets to Chile. There are photos of him in training gear. Keep in mind, this guy's name is Robbie. So even though he has a Chilean mom, some language barrier from what I can tell, because there are photos of him every time he's there with a coach who seems to be like an interpreter. He's in a foreign country. He's getting tackled by Arturo Vidal. He is, in the span of 24 hours, he decides, no, I'm leaving. Not for me. I'll go back and help Inter Miami push for the playoffs. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I'll ponder my international future. And he's not, it's not a welcome reception for him back in Chile.
Yeah, he's like the social media reaction has been bad to this. And I mean, look, it's a bunch of national team fans like, oh, like either, you know, good, we'll do it without you, or you played us, or whatever. But, I mean, it's also because Chile is desperate for good players because they had a great generation of players, and now they're not as good anymore. But, man, this was probably not the friendliest experience for him, I would imagine. Why? I can't imagine after this he's going to want to give it another try.
No. It's tainted for him.
Yeah.
Can he get into the U.S. men's national team?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. He's going to have to play a lot better. Now, tonight is the beginning of the U.S.'s attempt to avenge their failure to qualify for the World Cup in 2018. They begin World Cup qualifying tonight in El Salvador against the El Salvadorian national team. They're letting fans into the stadium 8.5 hours before kickoff so they can get good
what?
And liquored up.
8.5 hours?
8.5 hours before kickoff.
They can't
kickoff.
Get liquored up outside the stadium? They're going
to
get...
I guess not. Full-on vaccination requirements in El Salvador have to be fully vaccinated in order to get into the stadium. There are no kids under 12 allowed at the game. No kids under 12.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
And they're letting fans into the stadium 8.5 hours before kickoff for an 8 p.m. local time kickoff.
I know it's CONCACAF, but El Salvador aren't terrible.
They had a really good Gold Cup.
Yeah, they had a Gold Cup that was solid, and they're hosting, and Pulisic didn't make the trip.
No, he did not. Neither did Zach Steffen, who was the Manchester City keeper that a lot of people thought was going to be the number one, but there is a new keeper. But either way, the American national team has gotten so much. If you look back at the team that played in 2017 that failed to qualify against Trinidad and Tobago, and the team now, it is so much better. The pedigree of the players, where they are in Europe, we have a legitimately good national team. But until we beat El Salvador away, no one's going to believe it. And until we get to the World Cup, no one's going to believe it. And until we do well at a World Cup, no one's going to. But I'm telling you, Stugatz, I know you're going to be soccer's dead guy.
No, it's not
but
just
we
getting...
have really good players now.
No, I believe you. I'm not going to question you, okay? But getting to the World Cup is not a sign that you've arrived as a soccer country. It's doing something once you get to the World Cup, right?
Well,
I mean, just getting that. We've done something before with Landon Donovan's team, right?
Yeah, we made a quarterfinal of the World Cup
right.
in 2002. We've been to the round of 16 several times after that.
Yeah.
But for the current state of the national team, qualifying for the World Cup is a big deal because of how bad the failure. And look, Italy didn't qualify for the last World Cup. Sometimes you don't qualify for the World Cup. But this is such a big moment, and you just want to see a group of players, almost all of whom are under the age of 25. It's a completely new, young team, great promise, talented players. You want to see them. And as bad, you might say, oh, El Salvador, you should beat them. It's an incredibly hostile environment. It's nearly impossible to win away. The U.S. in the last World Cup qualifying cycle did not win one away game. It's that hard to go win in CONCACAF. But you still want to see this talented group of players kind of express themselves and look like they're better than everyone else as they're meant to be.
Why is it so hard to win on the road? I mean,
it's crazy.
Of the obvious.
So it's crazy, right? So CONCACAF, which is the qualifying region that the U.S. qualified from, which is the Caribbean and Central America and right. North America, there's just something crazy about it. You go away from home
right.
to places that meet you incredibly hostily. Like there's people at the hotel. There's going to be fireworks set off at 3 a.m. outside the U.S. hotel.
Right.
The
just to wake them up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The quality of the playing surface is not going to be great. The stadium is going to be packed with insane people who've been drinking for 8.5 hours. I remind you, 8.5 hours.
Right.
The referees are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They let everything go. You need to use a murder weapon to get a yellow card in CONCACAF. It's unbelievable.
Are they anti-United States?
Well, I don't think so.
Right.
But, I mean, I would imagine that certainly the opposition team is. That's their biggest game, is having the U.S. in their place. And it is just really freaking hard to go on the road and win in CONCACAF. It's just, it's nearly impossible. But the U.S. has such better players.
Right.
That's the annoying thing, is that if you look at, like, where they're playing, like, a lot of the El Salvadorian players are in their domestic league. A lot of the American players are playing for really freaking good teams in Europe right now.
Right.
Like, the best teams in Europe.
But why is it hard for the American team going on there? It's hard for any team.
It's hard for any team, yeah.
Right.
I mean, Mexico goes
so
there.
So dealing with the same set of circumstances,
yeah, of course,
is what
yeah.
I'm telling you.
I think like the
and how
win-
come we're not putting fireworks, you know, at the El Salvador Hotel where they're staying, you know?
Well,
that'd be a great name for a hotel, the El Salvador.
That actually would be.
Thank you.
But like, but we don't, you know what's actually interesting, Stugatz, is that in this World Cup qualifying cycle, they're trying to have the U.S. play in places that they're more likely to get a home crowd. But that's actually hard.
Right.
You can't play an American World Cup qualifier in New York and get a home crowd. The U.S. played Costa Rica at home at Red Bull Arena last time. They were the away team.
Sure.
There were more Costa Rican fans there.
Right.
Playing in Texas, playing in California. So the U.S. is playing their first World Cup qualifier in Nashville. They have games to come in Austin, Cincinnati, and Columbus, which you would think, why aren't they playing in bigger cities? But it's because they want to draw a home crowd.
Right.
We don't do home crowds like they do around, you know, Central America and the
Caribbean. Well, they haven't earned home crowds like that yet.
That's not true.
No, if they did some winning, they would fill
stadiums. We just had a very successful summer where they won.
No, I know you did. I actually followed it a bit. Yeah, I understand that. You won the Gold Cup, right?
No, but like in El Salvador,
the Nations Cup actually felt a little bit bigger.
Yeah, because you're playing the first team players. But like, Stugatz, in these countries, a lot of these countries have never qualified for the World Cup before,
right?
And yet they still create this atmosphere because soccer is their national sport, right? They don't care about the success of the team. They're going to make it a hostile environment for their opposition. So why can't we do that? For whatever reason, we just haven't been able to. But I'm actually going to go to the game in Nashville on Sunday, and hopefully that'll be a really good crowd. But it's just hard, man. Like, these countries, this is their life, is qualifying for the World Cup. This is the biggest sporting event they'll have in their country for 4 years.
Right.
And they build up to it like it's a national holiday.
So you have expectations.
It seems like
you have expectations, which is great.
But
right?
The expectations are tempered by the fact that we couldn't beat Trinidad and Tobago when we absolutely had to 4 years ago. Like,
but a different team. I mean, this is a different team, you're saying.
I know, but...
Four years older, more experienced, a bit more talented.
They did it in the Gold Cup. They did it in the Nations League. They've done it in friendlies.
You saw what he did? Four years older, a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
It's actually gone the opposite way.
A bit more talented, I said, too. Yeah, younger, the less experienced.
They're younger. Although the last experience is better, though,
because they're in Europe, right? They're playing against the best players in the world every week.
Yeah.
To borrow your phrase, it's do it in the playoffs time. It's do it in World Cup qualifying. Yeah, we won some tournaments. Yeah, we've got some players that are playing in Europe. Do it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And today begins the playoffs.
The U.S. soccer...
And then once you get there, do something when you're there.
The U.S. Yeah. Soccer Federation is really shooting itself in the foot. If they want to grow the game and they want to make World Cup qualifiers feel big, like there's a big one coming up this weekend, and they're going to have a whole lot of competition when it comes to grabbing the sports fans' attention. You're not going to wake the casual fan up and pull them away from college football with U.S. at El Salvador. You're just not. And you're certainly not going to do that by... taking them to what channel is this game on? I still don't know.
It's on
CBS Sports Network, and some of the games are going to be exclusive to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
They make it really hard. I know where I can find Mexican World Cup qualifiers in the United States. I know where I have to be and what channel I need to be watching for L3. But I don't know when it comes to the U.S. men's national team or the U.S. women's national team, and that is a huge problem. Their rights are a disaster.
Well, I mean, it's slightly out of their control, so they split the home games. So every home country gets to sell their rights.
Right.
So the home games are split between ESPN and Fox, but the away games are controlled by those countries, and they kind of all bundled together and sold their rights, and they sold them to CBS Paramount. So all the games are on Paramount Plus away from home, but...
It's just frustrating because Sugat says, I don't believe a word that he says, but he says he's trying here. And there's no way that he can actually try.
CBS Sports Network, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, I knew they won two tournaments over the summer. Like, I'm trying, because I see how much it means to you guys. And so, and I watched the one game that Chris called on Channel 33, tape delay, Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Ray Hudson, Huddy. Yeah. I am trying. I'm making an effort. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to get into soccer. I'm not saying I'm doing a good job of it, but I am. But here's the problem with a casual soccer fan like myself. What Chris just said about younger, about expectations, about being talented, all that, I've heard it before. Roy, we've heard this before. This is it. This is the time. This is it for U.S. men's soccer. And then what do? Nothing. That's what they do. So we've heard this all before. And it sounds nice. And I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for the team. And I'll certainly get into it if they make a deep run. But they're not.
This is a 5.5-year investment, I'm asking, for everybody. From you.
Oh, really?
And just, hey, during these international breaks, when the U.S. are playing important games, we'll let you know. There's a 5.5-year plan. It is all leading up to when North America hosts the World Cup, the Men's World Cup.
Okay.
I think that is the biggest moment in time for soccer in this country.
Right.
And if the U.S. men can find a way to perform well and make a deep run like they did in Korea, hell, even if they can somehow... make a deeper run than that, that is the true chance this sport has to really supplant baseball.
The only chance.
To supplant baseball into that top four American sports that people pay attention to, which with pro football, college football, and NBA basketball, there's a lane there for soccer. Baseball's dipping. The average fan in baseball is getting older. They're struggling with what soccer struggled with and is still struggling to with this, say, accessibility for inner cities and pay to play. They're starting to suffer through that. I think sports like golf, which is usually viewed as a sport for the elite, they're ascending, but they have challenges. Soccer can absolutely take that and run with it as being the fourth major sport if the U.S. men perform well.
That's the first step.
You have a World Cup coming up in Qatar or Qatar or
Qatar.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He was helpful. I was asking for it there. But you have a World Cup there that'll hopefully give you a foundation. I'm not expecting a deep run there. It would be good. It'd be great. And look, as things look right now, the U.S. in terms of CONCACAF, they're the best CONCACAF team in that competition.
We're number 10 in the world right now. U.S. right now is ranked the number 10 team in the world.
Top 10.
That's huge. They have a
highest ranking ever?
No. I think going into the 2006 World Cup, we were like 7th.
Yeah.
And then went out in the group stage.
Yeah. It was a group of death, though.
I mean, but
eventual champion Italy were in it. And
Petr Cech's Czech Republic.
Yeah, the Czech Republic.
But the thing is, if the only expectation...
Ghana.
Yeah, that was a great game. If the only expectation is you have to make a deep run in a World Cup, that's really hard. Because it's not like these big soccer countries are going away, right? Spain is still going to be great. Italy, France, Germany, the English. Like, to really get to that level, you probably would need a bit of home field advantage, which you get in 26, but... This is their national sport. This is all they do is try and produce soccer players. We're trying to do this as like our fifth sport, and it's really hard. Like, it's institutional, it's generational. Like, to turn it around and be like, well, the only way this works is if they make a World Cup semifinal. Like, no, it's about producing great players. It's about consistently performing well, getting behind a national team that plays good soccer and is fun to watch. Like, if they lose in the quarterfinal to the Italians, I'm not going to be like, well, the sport's dead because they lost to the Italians are great.
We'll see. I'm doing my part, by the way. Whitty, you already mentioned that you're going to this game in Nashville. Whitty and I are going to the World Cup qualifier in Cincinnati in November. Nice. Wow. Against Mexico. Mm. Because down with Mexico. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
It's the only context in which that's okay.
Yeah, despise them with every fiber of my being.
And soccer.
But what's this 5.5 years? Like, that seems like a pretty long commitment.
Yeah, it's a long game.
Commit, right. You're asking me, well, Roy, Billy, to commit 5.5 years.
It's actually less. It's less than 5 years. So the World Cup will be in the summer of 26.
Okay.
So in the summer of 26, we'll have World Cup. There'll probably be some games in Miami.
Right.
We hope. Because they're choosing which cities are going to host it. But you have a home World Cup. And hopefully by then, we've got a team of players in their prime in massive clubs in Europe with a pipeline of players coming behind them. The domestic league will have some investment behind them, and we'll have a proper national team that you can get behind. You'll have some real expectations.
You'll have mile markers along the way, too. Another World Cup and more. And this was as exciting of a summer, a non-World Cup summer, that U.S. soccer's probably ever had, where they won two trophies, and you'll have those competitions, too. So we're getting you ready here. Football Friday.
Thursday.
On a Thursday.
Yes. I don't want to commit 5.5 years, though. Can we shorten this? I mean, it seems like
you're getting two World Cups in that 5 year span. Aren't they changing the World Cup too to like groups of three for that?
Oh yeah, the 26 World Cup will be a 48 team World Cup.
Because they want China and India in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're making it easier to get those dollars.
And you guys feel like we really have a shot at hosting? If
we are hosting.
It's done. Yeah. We're hosting the World Cup in 5 years.
So you just want me to get fired up about it, headed into the World
Cup? No, I want you to get fired up about this team and this World Cup qualification, because we missed the last World Cup. Eyes on Qatar.
Qatar.
All right. Eyes on that.
You.
See how well we can do. And then prepare for what we hope is a World Cup winning run for the men's national
team. Okay. So I just want to know exactly what my responsibilities are over the next 4 to 5
Sports
and a half
Network?
Years. Yeah, yeah.
Tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Because I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. If it's going to help you, if it's going to make you happy, I'll do it. So tell me what I need to do.
So maybe you don't have to watch the World Cup qualifier next Wednesday in Honduras. We'll tell you what happens. But first one tonight.
Okay.
Away in El Salvador, CBS Sports Network, 10 p.m.
A little tricky tonight.
10 p.m.
What do you got going on tonight?
A little dead show.
Oh.
on a Thursday.
Another dead show?
I mean, you know, one in Rome. I mean, or in Massachusetts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Sunday then, 8 p.m.
I'm there.
United States and Canada.
Okay.
I think it's an FS1 game. Okay. I'll be there in Nashville having a nice time. Then in October.
Are you going by yourself?
Yeah.
Ooh, Nash Bash.
Chris, I'm writing this down. Okay. Sunday, 8 p.m., FS1.
Sunday, 8 p.m., FS1.
Yep.
Let me just confirm to make sure it is indeed FS1.
You're going
it is
by
indeed.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
That's sad.
Why is it sad?
Lonely.
It's sad. It just reminds me of when I was a little kid and my dad would just drop me off at Islands of Adventure and be like, have a good time, kid.
I mean, single rider, though. You were probably cutting all those lines.
I was giving tours on the Jurassic Park River Adventure. I'm like...
You got the walkie-talkie?
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
Like, time, the ever-flowing river.
All right, so I have a commitment this Sunday, 8 o'clock, FS1.
Yeah. Right. And then what I'll do is I'll give you like one game. There's like three games a window now.
Wait, this Sunday there's college football, Woody.
I mean, come on.
Is there college football at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, the Notre Dame-Florida State game is Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
Please.
Second TV.
I'll go come first on. TV FS1. I'll go second TV Florida State.
You're so full of it.
I totally look.
Second TV is a must now.
Well, what I do, I pace when I watch sports.
Did that to my wife.
I know. Is this a first world problem?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. This is a first
yes, world. It is.
Second TV is an absolute must. Billy, I see you.
TVs
you
are so cheap, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can just watch on an iPad cheap. Or a phone now. You don't need to have
yeah,
the whole
so a second screen.
Okay, Roy,
yeah.
Hang on a second. Roy. Hang on.
All right, No.
You spent $400 on a personalized Marlins jersey.
I didn't spend $400.
Whatever.
I spent less than that.
Because you got an employee discount.
$330. On a personalized jersey.
Boy, less Roy. Than that.
It was
less than that.
Yeah, we covered this with David Sanchez.
$330?
It was less than that.
Because he had the employee $280
discount. $280 on a Marlins jersey.
Can I ask you a question about that jersey?
No, you can't.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you anyways.
No, okay, I'm not listening.
Why do you get like the actual like on-field official one? Why don't you get like the scaled back like $100 one? You don't need to have like the moisture wicking like dry fit. Like you're never going to play a baseball game in that. You don't need it to be that nice.
It's all waste of money, but if I'm going to spend my money on it, I'm going to get an authentic jersey. It's all waste of money. But if I'm going to waste my money on something like this.
You want what the players want.
All of it.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
A 32-inch Insignia television, which is perfectly enough for your second television. $169 at Best Buy.
Wow. Nice.
No.
TVs are really cheap. I just bought two TVs like a month ago when I moved to Miami.
For a second TV, that's all you need. 32-inch TV.
Can I explain what it is?
If you're not getting a name brand like LG or Samsung, like you could totally get an affordable one, especially if you wait till there's a sale. Like there's always
stick an antenna on it.
Labor Day is coming up.
Antenna with a rope.
Labor Day sales. Billy, this is your big weekend.
Prime Day is in the month.
But I like to have, I don't want multiple TVs in one room. I like to pace. So in one room, I'll have the NFL on. I'll have like the Jet game on. In another room, I'll have the Dolphins on. Mike, you've been to my house.
Wait.
You've seen it. There are three rooms in a very... What, Billy?
You just turn on TVs in different rooms to have different things, and you just go back and forth between the rooms to see the things based on how you're feeling?
Yeah, so I have in the main room is the Jet game. I'll usually have the Dolphin game on in the office, and then I'll have the Red Zone channel on in the bonus room. That's the way I go, because I like to walk around when I'm watching games. And so if it's not going well in the Jets game, and it's usually not, then I will walk into another room and I'll watch the game in that room.
Really? So you have Jet game, main game.
Jet game's always main game.
I love my Cleveland Browns. Thank God they're playing more primetime games this year so I can watch with the sound on. I have that game on constantly, but that game is on mute. Red Zone gets a big screen TV treatment.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I figure when the Browns are doing something crucial, they're going to pipe in the sound for that game anyways. I get to focus on the important parts. And for all the other plays, I'm watching. Most of my attention is given towards the Browns game, but I like hearing the Red Zone is because I need to follow the rest of the league.
Right.
Look, I'm a sports media personality at this point. Yes. I've got to be informed.
You have to be informed. Well, not really. Yeah. I have. So when it gets to the witching hour, that becomes from 3 to 4 p.m., on Sunday afternoon, that goes on my main screen. The Jet game is usually over by 3. They've lost. And then I go to the witching hour from 3 to 4.
I turn on, usually the Steelers play at 1. So I turn on the Steelers game. I watch the first quarter. Because Red Zone at the start of the first games is always kind of meh. No one's really in the Red Zone. It's the first quarter of the first games. So I watch my team play.
That's not at all true.
I'm not having that.
Not at all true.
Oh, no. Not having that.
Do you not play fantasy? Janu Smith just caught 2 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown, and I got my work cut out ahead of me.
Derrick Henry just pulled off a 68-yard run. There's a kickoff return for a touchdown, and you've missed it because the first 10 minutes of the red zone aren't
Whitty,
that great.
You're
smart.
You're right.
No, Jeff, I just
think that if I'm going to miss any of red zone, I think that's the beginning of red zone is the
You have the 1 o'clock games closing out and the 4 o'clock games starting. It's like everything's happening.
You got to know what you got ahead of you. Yeah. There are some fantasy days that are done inside of 15 minutes.
Mid-second quarter, 4 o'clock games is when the afternoon nap begins.
Do you care more about watching the Browns or about your fantasy team? I care more about watching the Steelers. My fantasy team's secondary.
Really? My favorite football team is the Cleveland Browns, and a very close second is my fantasy team.
Yeah.
And my fantasy team has had a lot more success over the last 20 years.
Fantasy team is down here. I could care less. I like playing fantasy, but it's not going to dictate what games I watch. I like Red Zone because it's entertaining, but so is watching my team play if they're playing a good game.
All right. Have the Steelers throw up an 0-16 one season.
That's the problem,
and get
Mike.
Back to me.
Mike, I'm a Jet fan. You're a Browns fan. She doesn't get it.
Look, I'm skipping the entire Sunday ticket experience to go to a game against the Kansas City Chiefs all of a sudden because I have one of those things that have eluded me for 2 decades, a decent enough team. To feel like I can actually travel to see this team and be proud of them. But if they're no good, red zone all the way. And that was the majority of my Sundays. Let's go fantasy team.
Absolutely. Yeah, when my team's not good, it's red zone all the way. Fantasy team, gambling, and just the best parts of the football game, which is already exciting on its own. But that's the genius of the Red Zone channel. It's giving you the best parts of the most exciting sport we have. I love it. It's the best. What'd you guys make, Mike? You see the Ben Simmons report?
What's the Ben Simmons report?
That Ben Simmons has told the Sixers he no longer wants to play there.
Yeah.
I love it for this reason. If you're and Daryl Morey loves to make big moves, big splash moves, right?
Splash.
Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard. That's some of the rumors that are circulating around.
That's been circulating. That has been.
But you imagine
Philadelphia fans trying to will that into existence for months now. It's not going to happen.
Why wouldn't it happen?
Because they've been trying to make that happen.
Right.
And that is a clear and obvious downgrade for Portland. And Damian Lillard has already said he's starting the season out with Portland.
Okay.
So you don't have this huge malcontent in Damian Lillard that is just going to Carmelo his way through the season. Yeah, Carmelo did that for a year and a half, and now he's trying to pretend like he didn't want out of Denver.
It's pretty funny.
It's like it was a year and a half.
He forced the Knicks to trade their entire roster to get him.
Of melodrama because he wanted every single cent his contract, and he has the nerve to say he never wanted to leave Denver.
Right.
Excuse me, do I have bleep me written across my forehead? You gonna pee on me? Tell me it's rain, Carmelo? Put it on the pole. Does Carmelo Anthony pee on you and tell you it's rain? Wow. Where does he get off doing this?
You're very upset about this.
It was the most absurd, blatant lie. It had a name to it. Melodrama. It hijacked sports for a year and a half. He could have left on his own accord. Did he? No, he wanted all of that extension money. And he severely hurt the Knicks by getting himself traded to the Knicks because they traded very important pieces. Denver won that trade.
They did.
Where does he get off?
Carmelo could have just waited till the end of the season, becomes a free agent, go sign with the New York Knicks. They traded away their whole roster to get him.
Where does he get off doing this? Does anybody believe him? Does he think this happened long ago that we'd forget?
Yeah.
It's absurd. Absurd lie. He's a liar. But you tell him I said that. Carmelo Anthony, you are a liar.
Are you me directly?
No, tell
anyone who sees him.
Anyone who sees him.
Right.
You just shout in, liar.
Okay.
A liar. Liar.
I laughed at your tweet where you said it's the biggest lie ever told and you work with me for a living.
Yeah. Well, every other word out of your mouth is a lie. I'm probably underselling it.
Not every
by
other.
By saying
word.
Every other.
Every third.
Every word. Yeah. It's a lie. I mean, how does he do this? But to your point, Ben Simmons is not good enough to get traded for Damian Lillard. And if I'm Portland, I'll deal with a piss off Damian Lillard as long as I can. If that's going to be the return on that haul, no thank you.
I think it's a pretty good return.
He's a great defensive player.
For a guy who wants
great decision maker outside of that whole shooting thing.
But Mike, hold on. He's made it clear he wants out of Portland. And so...
Yeah, he has. But he's also resigned to him staying there.
I know, but if you're Portland and you can get... If you feel like he doesn't want to be there and is eventually going to leave and you can get Ben Simmons for him... I'm not saying he's Damian Lillard.
It's not a prize. What else is there? What else is there? Give me some other options.
I'm not
options.
Certain there's more than that.
Give me some other options. That would... The Philadelphia.
And I would also tell you this, Lillard and Embiid.
It's a no-brainer for Philadelphia.
They could win a championship, two.
They could have won a championship I guess they could have.
Right.
But
no, they could
have. That was their ceiling.
No, I mean, Kawhi's shot doesn't go in. Sixers have a shot at winning a title.
Well, they had Jimmy Butler on that team.
Right.
But Daryl Morey had improved that team year over year. They were a joke 2 years ago. They lost to an Atlanta team that many people aren't picking to go nearly as far this upcoming season. Most people would have them slotted. They're not even favored inside their own division anymore. So that was a very disappointing season. Daryl Morey, though, has shown that he knows where the weaknesses are. They have a glaring weakness there. They have the big. They need someone that can be an outside threat. Damian Lillard, in my mind, makes the Philadelphia 76ers Eastern Conference favorites. Ahead of Brooklyn.
I'm not certain I put him ahead of Brooklyn, but they're certainly in that conversation of top three teams, yes.
If Kyrie and James Harden and Kevin Durant can all stay healthy together, God bless, I would give that to you. But what I'm baking into that thought process is they can't all stay healthy.
Okay.
So
you're factoring that in already.
Yeah. Joel Embiid and Damian Lillard.
Makes them better than Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I Damian Lillard on Philadelphia, I would pick that team to win the East. And you know how much I despise the 76ers. But Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard, God, I hope Portland doesn't do that. Number one, because I hate Philadelphia, as I mentioned. Number two, I just don't think that's fair. I think Damian Lillard's fantastic. You got to do better than Ben Simmons.
I don't think you can do better than Ben Simmons, is my point.
He's playing ball, though. He's playing ball, and if you're the Portland Trailblazers, you have an opportunity to impress him with this new head coach that you've hired in Chauncey Billups. You have a very small window to make it work. As a Heat fan, I'm a little encouraged because right now you can't trade some of the pieces that you would, not to say that a package of Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and whatever Miami can scrounge together is even more appealing than that of Ben Simmons. I'm not even making that argument. I understand. But at least he's sticking around so a team like Miami can try to build up assets to acquire him. But Ben Simmons, no. Ben Simmons is a fully formed player in my mind. The illusions of him improving that shot, I think, are gone.
I wouldn't want Ben Simmons.
And if anything, he's proven that he's a sensitive player.
Right.
And I think he's only going to get worse off of this offseason. I don't see him getting better from it.
So he gets criticized in a way that he's never been criticized before.
about not being able to hit free throws, caving in big moments, not being able to hit threes. And what I don't like about Ben Simmons is the mentality of, hey, I'm not going to go out there during the offseason and work on it and come back and show Philadelphia fans and that team that I actually can do the things they expect me to do. What I'm going to do is take some time off. And then when I return, I'm going to tell them, hey, I don't want to play for you anymore.
Well, I don't blame
him. I don't want that guy.
I don't blame him for wanting out of there.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Philadelphia seemed like a nice place when they're blaming you for the loss. It doesn't seem like...
I don't think any place is a nice place when you're the number one pick in the draft. You can't hit free throws and you can't hit a three.
Philadelphia,
I don't think
especially.
Any place is a nice place.
Philadelphia
Philly
did that
especially,
to,
yes.
Yeah, they did that to themselves, talking themselves into Ben Simmons. The way I look at Ben Simmons is, I'm beyond getting mad at him for not hitting free throws and even attempting three-pointers. I just don't think he has that in his bag. I view him as, that's Ben Wallace out there.
Right.
That is a skilled Ben Wallace that has great court vision.
Ben Wallace who could dribble?
It's Ben Wallace who, with incredibly good point guard
He's
skills.
Such a good athlete, Mike.
He's such a good player.
I know.
Except for that damn shooting thing.
And it's not something he can learn and figure out. I think I'm with you because he would have done it by now. He's been in the league for 5 years, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I treat Ben Simmons like I treat Ben Wallace. You going to get mad when Ben Wallace doesn't take a three? No. You're going to get mad when Ben Wallace can't make a free throw? No, because you just know there's nothing he can do about it. He's tried. I think Ben Simmons is trying, but I just don't think he has the capability. So what do you do now? He is an asset. Absolutely. He has a skill set that I think is valuable to a team that has all different pieces. He has pretty good pieces in Philly. He needs different pieces to excel. But a player that can get you back at Damian Lillard, that just doesn't seem fair to me.
Right.
Because I view Damian Lillard as a far better player.
Like it would take...
Damian Lillard is a killer that will win you a championship.
It would take Embiid to get
yes.
Damian Lillard. Right.
Yeah. Like if Miami wants in on Damian Lillard, and God, I hope they do, they've said Bam Adebayo is untouchable. I think Miami has the piece right there, sitting on their roster to get Damian Lillard.
Straight up?
It's Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo is the piece that gets you Damian Lillard. And you got to come up with the internal discussion. I've made up my mind. I'm ready to do it. Are you ready to do it, Miami? Because I think that's what you do if you want to get Damian Lillard. That's your only shot. They have the asset to get him, but they don't want to part with him. And I get it. I trust the team, but I'd rather have Damian Lillard than Bam Adebayo.
You trust the team that didn't part with Tyler Herro for James Harden?
That's not exactly true.
It's kind of true.
No, they were in pursuit of James Harden. They didn't have – They did not have an offer close to what they got. So, trust me, like, it was overblown. They weren't really in the game. They were trying to be, but they didn't have the piece. They have the piece in Bam Adebayo to get you another superstar. That's the only way, too, that they can make it work for the cap outside of... Because you're not realistically trading Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro
for
the likes of Damian Lillard. It's not. Wow, First Take just announced Michael Irvin Mondays.
No way.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin Mondays?
Wow.
That is. Who's going to be on Tuesday?
Did you find it odd? I know Stephen A. needs. He's probably dealing with stuff. And even if he's not, he deserves vacation. But did you see the video of Max's goodbye? Did you find it weird that Stephen A. called in?
It was so nice.
You thought it was nice?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know Max said goodbye. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, Max had his final First Take show this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Odd. A little odd.
Weird.
Vitamin C vibes.
Wait, and Stephen A. called in?
Oh, Lord.
Is that a callback to Vitamin C, the pop singer's graduation song?
Yeah. Everybody knows.
I hate that song. It's a terrible song. Terrible song.
As we go.
Oh, no, no.
And this is how it feels.
We remember all the times we spent together.
And as our lives change, come whatever.
Is it from whatever or come whatever?
Who cares?
We will still be friends forever.
Very misleading.
La 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 la.
Really lazy songwriting.
It's come whatever.
Really?
That's a fine.
Two Americas. And he played this at my graduation.
Really?
What did they play at graduations before Vitamin C?
Or Boys or, Man song?
End of the Road?
Yeah. I think it's, yeah.
That's it.
The Macho Man's theme? Macho Man Randy Savage's theme.
Oh, yeah. Your mustache is crooked.
There has to be a way to remix those two songs, right?
Yeah, Girl Talk's got to get on it, Girl Talk.
Are you guys team Vitamin C or team Green Day? Good riddance for graduation.
Yeah, that's. I'm not on either team.
What team are you on?
You have to pick a team.
I'm on team.
I wouldn't want to.
I think I'm on team Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. But there wasn't a pop song that they would play at your?
No, no.
Wow, that's so smart from Vitamin C. She did the thing. That's why we got to make the Easter song. Mm. There's a wide open lane for us. All we got to do is just pull into it. There are no Easter songs out there. It can be us.
Mm.
The entire soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar is all that I listen to during Holy Week.
No one cares
about
Broadway.
But it's
Broadway.
Not Easter song, right? Mike is
yes,
right.
Yes, it is.
No, there's not a definitive Easter song. There is not.
Jesus Christ Superstar, do you think you're what they say?
It's a bit niche. You got to cast a wider net. We're talking bunnies. We're talking eggs. We're talking sundaes. We're talking pastels.
Is there a Thanksgiving song?
There is that.
Adam Sandler.
No, the greens, beans, tomatoes, potatoes, greens, beans, potatoes.
It's I was about banger. To say that.
That's
Mike,
not the official Thanksgiving song.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No,
yes, it is.
You need greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, greens, beans, potatoes.
Roy, what did you have Sandler doing? That's the Hanukkah song.
No, no, that's
thing. He has a Thanksgiving song.
Oh, it does? Thanksgiving song.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Telling you.
Huh.
We need the Easter song.
is that the one?
That's
How about the Rosh Hashanah song?
Yeah, let's do it.
There is one. It's a Jewish New Year.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, but Vitamin C really exploited a market inefficiency, and she's going to be living off of that song. She's having a nice royalty laden career.
I don't know about
that. You don't think so?
$2.95 a year.
I'm gonna look up what she. I'm like a dog with a bone on this one. Has Vitamin C had a nice incentive laden?
Is that what you're typing in?
Also, if there's any like coming of age film where someone graduates, they always put that song in their movie. Or show.
Jess, to your point about Good Riddance, the Green Day song, which I think more people know as Time of Our Lives, that came 2 years before Vitamin C's graduation. So there was like an 18-month window where that was the time, where that was the graduation song, but then Vitamin C pipped Green Day.
I actually knew this about Vitamin C.
1997.
She took a job with Nickelodeon. There's no way she is still holding the title that she got in 2012, Vice President of Music at Nickelodeon.
I didn't realize that Nickelodeon needed a vice president of music.
Well, who's the president of music?
Probably just the president. President. You know, a lot of companies have vice president. I'm like, who's the president here? And ultimately, it's the CEO.
The VP is the highest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't become president because CEO is president of everything.
Right.
Wow. I always thought Good Riddance came after Vitamin C.
No, it came 2 years before. No,
well before. Yeah.
97 versus 99.
So the late 90s were like the prime
pinnacle for saying goodbye, it turns out.
If you graduated something in 2000, oh my god, your graduation must have been the best music.
Yes it was.
Yep.
What other songs are in this realm?
I graduated eighth grade in 2000 and then in 2004 I was still banging the same songs that I did in 2000 because they are everlasting.
Graduated eighth grade when?
2000.
My sister's graduating class of eighth grade in 2000 had quite the controversy.
Ooh. Yeah, controversy.
They had to vote for a class song.
Oh.
And they voted for a class song for their graduating class about a month or two before Vitamin C's graduation came out.
Yeah. Who could have seen that coming?
So they voted for the class song, and then they unofficially adopted Vitamin C's graduation as their class song, even though it did not win the election.
What did?
I feel like it was probably like Tarzan's You'll Be in My Heart or something like that.
By Phil Collins?
I think so. I could
Dude, don't
be
even
wrong.
Get me started.
What year
on
did that come out?
That
I feel like that's what it was.
That
was
just,
why do I know that?
Have you seen all the Tarzan memes?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's Phil Collins going. It's like the instructions to Phil Collins are, hey, we need a soundtrack for a man who kind of lives in the jungle and all that. He's like, oh, okay. Let me just let it rip in the recording studio.
Piano on fire. A piano on fire. A great soundtrack from Phil Collins. He should just tour that album. Did you see Elton John is coming out with a new album?
Oh, stop.
Yeah,
That shouldn't be allowed. I'm sorry.
What?
You can't go on a farewell tour. No, because
now he's
going to
tour again, right?
No more of that.
Yeah, these tours are never over.
You don't think he's going to play music from that album on the farewell tour? You think it's a true... The farewell tour doesn't end for like two more years.
You said farewell. Stay gone.
Mike, it's been going on for 5 years. I mean...
Yeah, the album that he announces, The Lockdown Sessions, he himself admitted in an IG video that he never actually imagined making a new album. It just sort of was born out of being locked up in the house.
Oh, shut up. He's had about 6 Miami stops on this farewell tour already.
Yeah.
Like his final, it's the farewell tour. He's coming to Miami / Fort Lauderdale, right? Because sometimes people don't come to Miami because Fort Lauderdale. You'll be there. It already happened twice.
No, it's coming back.
What?
There's another leg. Yeah, look it up.
But there's... No!
Yeah, look it up.
There can't be a stop on a farewell tour followed by more stops. How many last shows can you have in a place?
Dog, I've said goodbye to Kiss at least 17 times.
You should get a refund for the other shows.
No.
You should.
No.
Yeah.
You don't feel duped. Time of my life.
You don't feel duped.
I don't believe it.
You haven't lived until you've wrapped your arm around a perfect stranger. And said, Saturday! 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 Saturday!
It hits different on actual Saturdays.
It does. No, he played down here on a Saturday, and it was...
Oh, man. Same thing with Piano Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You see Billy Joel on a Saturday?
Billy Joel.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez. Can you put us there? Tell me you went to that stadium tour where Billy Joel and Elton John toured stadiums.
I was there. Yeah. I
fell asleep.
Dueling piano.
I was a child.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was missing.
Had you known... If you could go back, if you had one thing to do over in your life.
In my whole life? That.
Yeah.
Never been more lonely in my life.
Do you like letting the Saturday rip more than the Crocodile Rock, La 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 La?
I don't like Crocodile Rock.
Really?
Elton doesn't like Crocodile Rock.
I know he doesn't like Crocodile Rock, but I still love Crocodile Rock.
No.
It's not up to Elton.
It's
okay?
Not.
It's up to me.
I like your song. That's Tiny Dancer. Mm. He's got so many songs that I can just spill beer all over you and you won't care because we're just held in a pre-pandemic embrace.
The Lion King song, whatever that was.
Wow. There's so many.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah.
Circle of Life.
That's the Monroe song, isn't it? Marilyn Monroe?
What?
No.
Marilyn Monroe?
Can You Feel the Love Tonight? A Candle in the Wind?
That wasn't Marilyn Monroe.
We're talking about The Lion King still.
Well, it was about Marilyn Monroe. But then, he did the revisionist history. Now it's about Princess Di.
Like
a candle in the wind.
Such a great song.
Never know.
Or the song at the end of Rocky
when
Five.
When the rains come in.
The song at the end of Rocky Five.
Your footsteps will always follow you. Down England's greenest hills. Yeah. That's it.
Kind of lazy to assign it to someone and then reassign it to someone because you don't want to write another song.
Downright disrespectful.
Thank you.
Candles burned out long before.
I go change the name on her gravestone. Get out of here.
Legend ever we.
Respect the dead.
Yeah.
What was that song that he did with like Robert Downey Jr.? I want love.
Write a new song.
But it's impossible. A man like me.
His voice stinks now, right?
So we're... Wow. No way!
Wow. Wear and tear on that voice.
No.
Mike is going to...
Are you British or not?
No.
Mike is kicking
him.
Did he
insult a knight?
He did.
Mike just threw a pencil at him. Marker at him.
I would pay anything to see Elton John on a horse in knight's armor.
Why?
Actually, if I Google it, I'm sure I could.
You probably could.
Probably
everywhere.
He still got the chops. you apologize.
Mike, I got to tell you something. Elton John, the voice is going on him.
No, it isn't. No.
How much tea that man drinks?
Yeah.
He's
so much tea and honey.
There's only so many times I could see the act. Him and Billy Joel. Both of them.
Stop.
Billy Joel is great.
And the Rolling
great.
Stones as well.
Stop. I'm seeing the Rolling Stones.
Billy Joel is great the first 15 times you see
him. Fair point.
Yeah, but he has no interest in recording any new music. It's just old.
It's playing the hits. I know.
It's the best.
And he's got a residency at Madison Square Garden. I get it all. He's fantastic. I love him. I'm just saying, he's getting old. The voice isn't as good. Yeah.
A bit of a waddle.
I mean,
when are you seeing the Stones? Because they were in Miami in 2019, and it turned out to be Charlie Watts' last live performance.
Wow. Yeah, I missed out on that.
I saw a lot of sports writers tweeting about it.
Yeah,
big,
down here.
Big show for the Stones. I've seen them three times in concert, and yeah, they sound a little bit slower than I'm sure they once were, but Mick Jagger still dances. He just still runs around the stage like, you know, I don't know. He still got it.
I'm seeing them at the end of October. I have to, unfortunately, T's and P's for me. Mm-hmm. I have to go to Tampa to see them, which is hard. Yeah, I'll keep my mouth closed the entire time. I'm right. not breathing that air. But I'm going to see them. And it was the pandemic that said, for whatever reason, I couldn't make that 2019 just before the pandemic. And then the pandemic made me realize they're going to die soon. Hell, they're dying presently. So I guess we all are, but I am not missing the Rolling Stones. I'm hoping to God I can see them. Because now I'm already down Watts. Hope they can make it.
Yeah, but you're not seeing them.
You don't think so? You don't think they're going to make it? They're going to make it.
Without Watts?
They already have a different drummer. He didn't start the tour with them because he had a procedure done like a couple months ago. And then he put out a statement saying that he was going to join as soon as he felt like he recovered. And then like a month later, he passed away. So they're already on tour without him. And they're all, I'm sure, devastated because he's an integral part of the Rolling Stones. And we all make jokes about like Keith Richards' immortality, but that band as a whole, like I never thought I'd see any of them die.
I don't want to see the Stones again.
What?
I mean, I've...
Well, you've seen them. They're on...
I've said goodbyes 12 times.
They're on my list. I'll see you guys later. I gotta see them. I told you about
my
experience.
It's an emotional roller coaster. You say goodbye, and then you see him again, and you say goodbye, you see him again.
Now, Sugats, you love going to see Grateful Dead and Dead & Company.
Yeah.
At what point...
Never.
...is a band no longer the original band that you're going to see?
So they're missing two. They have three of the original band members who are still playing. Bob Weir, Bill Kreutzmann, Mickey Hart, and then John Mayer's replaced Jerry Garcia. Phil Lesh is still alive. He's the bassist, but he doesn't want anything to do with this because he's 80-something years old, and they have a keyboardist. So I would say as long as Bob Weir, for me, is standing in the middle of that stage where I'm accustomed to him standing, and he's belting out songs the way he's belting them out, to me that's good enough. So I guess I would tell you the lead singer. That's it.
Lead singer has to be there, but I really lose a lot of the magic when the other band members fall by the wayside.
No, it doesn't.
It really does.
I was super skeptical to go the first time I went to see him because I love Jerry. I saw over 100 shows with them, with Bob and Jerry together. And John Mayer, I was like, what? But what John Mayer did, and it was a stroke of genius by Dead & Company, is I used to play their music all the time in the house, and my daughters would be like, Dad, this is garbage. And then they got Mayer, and Mayer started playing the same songs that I was playing, and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Can we go to the concerts with you? And so
they're just thirsty for Mayer.
Yeah, they like Mayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yep. Yeah.
Did he just stop making music of his own?
Like no, he still makes music.
An album.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's actually touring here, and he's going to play American Airlines. He still has a fan base, but
FTX.
I think...
FTX.
I'm sorry. Apologies.
Fine.
Sorry. No, I'll play it next time.
Gotta get used to that.
I think he's in that sweet spot now where it's just, F it, I'm not getting any new fans.
So plus, he's really enjoying it.
I'll just cater to my fans. I was at a 311 show. I was at two 311 shows over the weekend. Ooh. They're in that... They know. They're not getting any new fans, so they're just trying to make everything super special for their diehards.
Right.
I think they're playing the Shining Hotel on Halloween, which is, I don't know.
Overlook?
New metal reggae doesn't exactly go with Red Rum, but I wish them luck.
Chris, you would agree that Mick Jagger just being out there, if he's there, it's the Rolling Stones, right?
That's fair.
Like people would show up just because Mick Jagger is there. So for me, it's just one, like Bob or Jerry has to be there. It's not Jerry, it's Bob, and I'm good.
But you need Keith also. I don't think Mick will go on tour once Keith is done.
Yeah, it's Keith.
I think the two of them together are going to be.
But I'm saying
forever.
If Mick showed up without Keith, a lot of people would still go. If Keith showed up without Mick, no one would go. Mick's the draw.
No,
I'll
throw a flag on that.
Really?
I'm a big fan of New Order. Peter Hook was in many ways the spirit of that band with those bass riffs. I've seen Peter Hook play live, and he plays Joy Division and New Order songs. And I've seen New Order live. Yeah, you get the vocals, but those vocals over time aren't the same anyway. I had a better time at Peter Hook's show in a small club gig because it felt more passionate about the music of Joy Division and New Order. So I would see Keith Richards on his own if he was touring. He can get somebody else to play that.
You can't replace
Mick.
You'd
see Keith and Ronnie Wood, but then a different person doing lead vocal.
Yeah. Johnny Marr does this from the Smiths. Morrissey left the Smiths. Johnny Marr, the Smiths are no longer. Morrissey still tours Smith songs. Johnny Marr is going to be opening for the Killers on their next arena tour next year. And I can't wait to see Johnny Marr play Smith songs.
I guess Journey did it, right?
Journey's done it successfully.
Yeah. Very successful.
But you can get someone to replicate the sound. Stone Temple Pilots did that. It was weird. They even got Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Right.
And they had to replace Chester. And now they have somebody that sounds close to Scott. It's hard to replicate Scott Weiland. Man, you kids. You kids.
Kids.
You really miss out on Scott Weiland. He was a hell of a front man.
Kids.
So washed.
Let me use The Who as an example, though.
Mm-hmm.
If Roger Daltrey is not there, I'm not going to the concert. If Pete Townsend just shows up.
Pete, that's an example.
I'll go if Daltrey's there.
That's
okay?
An example of the band where the guitarist is probably more important than the vocalist.
Yeah. I would agree. Right. You can find someone to do the Daltrey voice, I think. Yeah. I think,
I want it to be Daltrey.
I don't know. When I think of my first exposure to them really was the Super Bowl halftime show that they did. I left thinking more about Pete Townsend than I did about Roger Daltrey.
Okay.
And the very unique style of guitar playing that he does.
Right. But if Townsend was just playing, well, no, I guess you're right.
You'd find someone, you'd find someone to do the voice, and I'd go. But the reason why I brought it up is because, so Mike mentioned the acts you want to see before they go. The Eagles would absolutely be one of them for me, but is Glenn Frey's passing enough to make you be like, I don't know if it's not the Eagles anymore?
That is another perfect example of seeing a band when they're in town, when they're advanced age, because I'm so happy. One of the best concert memories I ever got was watching the Eagles, the full Eagles. The Eagles are a weird band because a lot of their hits, Glenn isn't singing on. Right, they share vocals. Up to four Eagles, different Eagles sing on their songs. So I think you're fine there. Jess, you're a big fan of Pink Floyd, are you not?
I am indeed.
So have you seen Roger Waters and David Gilmour?
Well, Roger Waters and David Gilmour the last time they performed together, I believe, was at Live Aid in like 2008. And since then, Roger Waters has done his own stadium tour of The Wall, and David Gilmour has done a separate, smaller tour with, I think, Richard Wright, who is another Pink Floyd member. And I've seen Roger Waters do The Wall at Wrigley Field, and it was amazing. Like, it was truly incredible. And it sounds like Pink Floyd because he's doing vocals for every song on that album. I was planning on going actually in 2020 2020. He was going to be at the Meadowlands, I think, but obviously COVID, it got canceled. But he still sounds amazing. And I feel like with Pink Floyd, since they split writing and guitar and vocals on different songs, like David Gilmour can still do Dark Side of the Moon.
Correct.
And Roger Waters can still do The Wall. So like David Gilmour can go play that and Roger Waters can play The Wall. And you kind of can't really tell the difference. I mean, you can tell it's not the same as when all four of them were still together, but they each sound good on their own.
They have left so much money on the table, though.
They have, yes.
A joint tour.
By being separate,
reuniting,
yes.
Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. They have lost so much money.
But they're not going to, that relationship is not getting patched up. They're going to leave that money on the table.
Same with the Smiths.
Yeah.
Same with the Smiths. Yeah. Coachella, the founders of Coachella say every year their first big offer is they throw more money at one act than they've ever pulled together for any other. They want to reunite the Smiths. Undoubtedly, Morrissey does his thing, which is just be a jerk, amongst other far worse things. And they just move on. But their first wish list act is reunite the Smiths. The Smiths are turning down money. The act that I'd want to reunite the most, I've just lost out all hope. I think they're done, is the White Stripes. I've seen Jack plenty. I've seen Jack with a full band. I've seen Jack in his element. But there's just something about seeing Jack dressed in red and white with the red lighting and just having Meg back there and recapturing that magic. I never got to see it. And it's That's a White Rhino. I'd love to see that. And Daft Punk.
Oasis as well.
Yeah, Oasis.
Oasis are going to do it. I'm not convinced. They'll do it. They're also an offer that Coachella tries to reunite. They were really close to reuniting recently. They'll eventually say yes to the money. Daft Punk, I imagine, will reunite at some point. White Stripes, I got no hope for. It's a bummer. I'm glad there are certain acts, and I'm glad they haven't gone out and continued. BC Boys, you can't pull that off. You can't pull that off without MCA. You just close the book. I'm glad I got to see the three of them, and that's that. I wouldn't want to see. I'd pay to see it, but it wouldn't be anywhere near the same. It's a trio. Everybody's equal. You can't remove 33.3% of the equation.
Right. Probably them and Backstreet Boys, right?
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.